what we're talking about this morning is fruits of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. And the one fruit that I'm talking about this morning is love. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about love, it conjures up lots of different thoughts. And those thoughts come from all sorts of different places. Some of them are very positive and some of them might be actually quite negative. But I want to look at a few areas today about the fruit of the Spirit, the one that's called love, and what that looks like. I think the world has a very distinct view of love. And that's a lot of it's created by the media, by advertising companies, of what they think love is. And whether we like it or not, we are affected by that. We take that on. And yet the truth is, there's another broader, more amazing love and understanding of love that we get through Father God. We get through walking in His Spirit and understanding the fruit. The world's view of love tends to be based on things like lust and sex. It's appearance, it's how we look. Are we looking cool? And the view is tainted by that sort of appearance. Not that I, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong in admiring somebody and their beauty, but love is more than just what person looks like. It's their inner being. You can well understand that that's true, that when Wendy met me, it was more than my outward appearance, which thank God is good really. And why we're still married after 42 years. But the images we have of the world are very stereotyped, aren't they? Yeah, right, we're going to get first part of this music. Now, this might bring memories to some people. We're going to see if we can do it. Anybody know where that came from? It was actually a hit before it was in a film. You obviously... Somebody remember? Thank you. Back to the Future. So, well done, Charles. There's some very sad people around and I'm one of them. Okay. I won't tell you how many times I've watched the set of films, but... It was quite a good story, actually. And there's... a set of trilogy films. I can't remember whether we've watched it all in one night yet, but we've watched them over a set of nights. And there were some quite good songs in there as well, and this is one of them. The song's interesting because this is the way the writer thinks about love, the way he sees it. And actually, let's think about it. We can relate to some of it. It is our experience. Love is a curious thing. Absolutely. Particularly when we start building a relationship, that can feel very odd. Particularly when we're trying to work out some different situations. It says, it can make one man weep and another man sing. If you've been married a few years, you might relate to that. I won't even mention you there, Rob. It can make you sad or mad. They say love is fair. Now, if you've been in any sort of relationship, you might disagree about that at some point. They say you don't need money or fame. It's strong, love is. It's sudden, it's cruel sometimes. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? It actually sounds very familiar to our experience. I want to draw out two lines from that song. But it might save your life. That's an interesting line, isn't it? Love could save your life. Isn't that the gospel? Isn't that the gospel that we're sharing? Jesus died so that we would know and experience the love of God. It saved our lives. That's why we're here. And then the other line, and with a little help from above. It's interesting, the writer's just thrown these things in. You don't know what the background is. And that's what my theme is today. What's God's love like compared to the experience that we might have had? This is Don Francisco, and as Alan says to me, is he still alive? Oh, there's a few people who remember him then. Yes, that's right. He is still alive, actually. Okay, let's see if we can listen to the words of this one. Thanks, Alan. He's working hard at the back there. Okay. Anybody, does that bring back memories? Yeah? There's a few people. He's still alive. He's still living in Colorado. I looked him up just to check he's still here. But he is. I'll tell you one of the things that made me think about at the time. It was my realization about the choices I made. I needed to decide to choose love. And that's not always easy. It's not always straightforward. I'm not talking about abusive or violent relationships. I'm talking about making decisions. The world tells us that's how we feel. And what this song was saying is, you've got to make a decision. The world tells us, if you fancy doing something, it's okay. We can please ourselves. If it feels right, it'll be okay. But quite often, there are huge consequences on some of those decisions. Are we prepared to make love choices, to make connections? He talks about all sorts of verses that we've just gone through, but I find these last couple of verses quite amazing. He sings about Jesus dying on the cross, and it wasn't fun. Well, dying on the cross doesn't sound fun in any shape or none. But he actually chose, Jesus chose to do that. Why would Jesus do that? Out of love for you and for me. He made a choice. A choice that was made by Jesus to go through that pain, and the choice was love for us. Because it's not a feeling, it was an act of his will. He had to decide to go and do it. Love is about making choices. Now that sounds very different perspective and view that the media and the advertising world has taught and portrayed to us. Surely, in that view, love is about feeling. It's feeling good. It's being stirred up inside. But actually, when we choose to be a friend, we choose to be loyal, to be helpful, to be encouraging, to build people up. A marriage is a public decision, isn't it? We make a decision and we choose to actually jump into that relationship. And all of those sort of different relationships, the majority of those are in safe places. So I'm not talking about violent relationships, I'm talking about loving relationships. But even those relationships, we can let go cold. And we have to choose what we're going to do about that. We have to choose love. If we look at 1 John 4, 7 to 12, and I'm going to go through a few passages now, because the truth is, the truth sets us free. God's word sets us free. It will renew our minds. It changes our minds, the way we think and the way we do. Let me read this to you. This is God's love and ours. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. The truth is, God loves everyone. Let me say that again. God loves everyone. We have this picture, absolutely, thank you. Marjorie's going, yes. And that's right, isn't it? Because we've actually misunderstood, and the church has given the wrong impression in the past, that God only loves those who believe. The others are heathens. But that isn't true. Sorry, I'm going off script, Peter. Peter's got the words and he's realised I'm not following it. The truth is, God loves everyone. The only subtle difference is, there's people that believe in Jesus, believe in God, and then there's people that don't. God loves everyone. He doesn't make any differences or changes. It's just they don't recognize that. And we have a choice to believe in God and his eternal love. Why? God is love. Love is God. God is love. Love is God. So even when people who don't understand or believe God love somebody, they're sharing some of God because they are loving, and God is love. God gave us Jesus so that we could understand and understand in human form what love looked like. It was the freshness that he brought through his son Jesus. This is the second part of the same passage. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. If we acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God, God lives in us. Choices. We've chosen to understand and believe who Jesus is. And God will come and live in us. And he has given his Spirit, Holy Spirit, to be our guardian, our carer, our guide, our protector. Our being is different because we have the Spirit of God with us. We have Holy Spirit with us. God is love, and Holy Spirit is the person that comes on us to actually help us to do that. It takes love to a new level. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is the section from Galatians. I say then, walk in the Spirit. This is using the translation that Richard used last week, which is the New King James Version. because it describes it as walking in the Spirit. And I think that's why I've used it again. It's a good picture. Because as we move and walk, walk is a sense of doing something we have to do. We have to put one foot in front of the other. So it's actually walking. And as we do that, the Spirit is upon us. And we can open ourselves more and more to what God is choosing to do in us. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if we're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-serving, suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We have choices. We have choices to attempt to carry life out by our own strength, or walk in strength with Holy Spirit. I'm really good at walking in my own strength. It's exhausting. It is absolutely exhausting. Am I learning? Have I got it cracked? Well, I'm working on it. Because I know that as I walk in the Spirit, not only am I different, because I am a part of what God's planting in me, but I am different to all those around. Haven't got perfection yet. I suspect when I've got perfection, I'll be in a box. But I'm learning on a daily basis that I need to walk in the Spirit. Because that's what God's given me to do. He's given me the Holy Spirit to actually be more of me because I reflect Jesus. If we're led by the Spirit, it says you're not under law. This doesn't mean we've got a freedom to do anything we fancy. It means that we're looking to Holy Spirit for guidance. The fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Who wouldn't want those in their life? That's my question is, who wouldn't want those things? Against such there is no law. If we live in the Spirit, we will also walk in the Spirit. To get the fullness of God's love, we need to live and walk in the Spirit. What does that look like? The very last verse of chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians says this: now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Love is indispensable. And yet I will show you the most excellent way. Love. I love that phrase. I will show you the most excellent way of love. Isn't that a cracking phrase? The most get a bit carried away. Let's have a look at this passage, chapter 13 of Corinthians. It's one of the most famous passages in the Bible about love. And I just want to go through that. If I speak in tongues of men and angels, but do not have love. If I'm only I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give my body to hardship that I may boast about it, but do not have love, I am nothing. I thought this morning, God does stuff, doesn't he? He's just an amazing God. And Jackie gave that word this morning in tongues. And then she gave the interpretation, which ended up with Richard and Jackie's crying. Because there was love there. That's right, isn't it? Yeah. Who's been in meetings where they've seen prophecies, tongues, shared, where those people have had no love for the people? Well, you don't have to admit that you've been in a meeting like that. I have. And when there's no love, it doesn't change people. When you've had a prophecy, when you've had something spoken over you, and somebody, you know that their heart is toward you, and the love of God is blessing you, that's different to somebody who just shares a word with you. And they actually have no interest in you at all. Now, I don't mean to be cruel. I'm just stating a fact and a situation. The worst case scenario, and you might have never experienced this, and if you haven't, thank God. Somebody comes to you and says, in love, I want to share this. Now, that's always pretty frightening in my terms. I'm thinking, go and share it with them. I don't want to hear. Because what they're about to do is to kick you where it's going to hurt. And they think they're being nice to you. But there is actually no love, no heart, nothing behind it. They just think they've got something to tell you. That's what this passage is talking about. The most important ingredient that God is giving us is love. These other things are an immense tools that God has given us. You can see this morning what tongues can do. You know when somebody has prophesied over you or prayed over you, in those sort of ways, it has changed you because there is a heart coming out. That's the difference. I think sometimes, I've written down here that when people do it out of the wrong heart, other people see it as do-gooders. Because they can see they're trying to do the right thing, but because it comes over with no heart, there's no feeling behind it. And what God is sharing in this passage is saying the most important ingredient is love. Because we need to respect others, a desire to build them up, to encourage them, to build relationship, to bring God's freedom, to bring God's release. And those can be through prophecies and things, but they must have love to make the difference. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, never fails. This is how we can measure love. Love is patient and kind. That doesn't mean that we have to be a doormat. Taking patience and time allows us to give time and make time for others, showing acts of kindness. And those simple acts of kindness can be minute things that make a difference. Chris shared a story last week of him actually just smiling at somebody. And that reflection of Jesus changed that person. I have a story exactly the same years and years ago. I was just walking down the road waiting for a bus, and a friend of mine drove past. And I just waved and smiled at him. It changed his day. I'll just give you an example. Would that change your day? No, you might think, well, that's not... Can you just put that away, David? Because that wasn't a very good smile. How can that change? It's because God's love came through. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's easily angry. It is not easily angered. It keeps new records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. I won't ask you this question. I'll ask myself. Have I done any of those things? Yes. I would like to feel, and you can ask Wendy afterwards, that I do them less. But the truth is, we're still learning, aren't we? And the way we're going to learn is by relying on Holy Spirit, walking, living with Holy Spirit. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. I can understand you saying, yes, I understand that, but it's not me. But it's actually where God is aiming at with me and you. That's where God is aiming at with me and you. That's why we need to walk in the Spirit daily. Love never fails. I think about that as the way I've done things in the past. At one point I was responsible for the maintenance team at the school I worked at. And one of the guys, he'd lost his rag basically, because he goes round every night and he closes all the windows in the school. And it was an old school, built in the 1930s. So there's 9 million windows. So on a hot day, what the idea was, teachers were supposed to close the windows. So anyway, he's getting a bit fed up because a lot of teachers hadn't. So he got into one classroom and he'd actually hung the window pole on the window and then written a note on, this is what the window pole is for. He got a bit. So at any rate, I had to go and have a word with him to say, you can't do that. Okay. So because of the way I am, I'm not a shouty person at work anyway. And I try not to be. So I had a chat with him. And he was thinking about this. And he went and talked to the other guys. And he said, I think I've just been told off. But I did it in a way that I felt I was comfortable with. Now, that's not the way everybody else does things. But my experience, being kind and loving actually takes a longer process. But it doesn't fail. It takes time. It takes patience. But there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. People have a habit of using this section of the Bible to say that God's amazing power is past. And there are some churches preach and teach that. But they misunderstand what God's kingdom is about. And God's heart for people is that he wants to change whole areas, atmospheres, people. And this is only going to pass when there's no more to do. It's a different understanding. The truth of the fact is, these gifts, these are important gifts. But if they're not shared in love, they're hollow. Whatever we do needs to be done in love. It needs to be done with the basis of what Jesus is actually blessing and encouraging each one of us. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away the childish childhood behind me. The thing is, we can see that when we were children, we were self-centered. And the main thing and purpose in our lives was us. And the truth is, we've moved on as we've grown up. But do we still go back to that? Unfortunately, we do at times. We can still be childlike and childish. I must admit, when I got married, when we had discussions, I honestly believed, and I'm sort of quite frightened about saying this now, but it was a long time ago, but honestly believed I was right all the time. That was the arrogance of who I was. Not a good thing to be going into a relationship with. There's some smiles going on over there. I'll ignore that. But that's the thing, isn't it? We need to change. We need to understand that we've moved on. How are we going to change and move on? That is walking in God's Spirit. Changing us to be in new ways. When we walk in the Spirit, we can become the men and women God wants us to be. That's why we need to build our relationships with Father God and Jesus to enable us to fully walk in the Spirit. For now we see only a reflection as in the mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am known fully. For now we see only a reflection in the mirror. Very often the reflection we see of ourselves is blurred. The reflection we see of Jesus in ourselves can be blurred. But as we grow and understand and actually take on more and more of God's love, that reflection of Jesus becomes sharper. As we see face to face, as our relationship grows, the reflection becomes perfect. That's an amazing picture, isn't it, of that reflection. Have you ever seen a stillness of a lake like that? It is outstanding. And that's going to be us. That people see something different in us. That's exactly what happened to Chris. His boss saw Jesus. Holy Spirit did something in his boss's heart and mind. Holy Spirit brought change. Because there was a reflection. As we walk in the Spirit, the reflection gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Oh, last slide. And now, these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Trust me, that's what it says. Oh, it keeps coming back. As we walk in God's Holy Spirit, as Jesus' love grows in us, as we reflect Jesus, it grows stronger and stronger. And Jesus pours out of us. We not only reflect Jesus through Holy Spirit, he pours out of us. And people do see a difference. They see a difference in us, which they might not be able to put into words. We experience it when people come into this centre. They put the reason why coming into this centre is different. In my mind, there's two things. One is the people. And the second thing is the presence of God on this place. Now, they don't go, wow, it's amazing, God's presence. They go, there's something different about this. Because of the people. As our understanding of God grows, our hope grows. Our hope in Father God, of what he has in store for us. Our faith grows. So that we can be Jesus wherever we are. And the biggest challenge for us, and we need to understand the scripture in this, is to love ourselves. Because as we love ourselves, we understand God in a way that we perhaps haven't done in the past. Because God's love for us is immense. He wants us to love and understand ourselves so that we can be different to those. And then as we do that, our love can change and bring things. I want to challenge me, I want to challenge you to choose Jesus' love, to walk in his Spirit, to live in his Spirit, to make it a daily challenge that we can show God's love. Let's just pray. Father, you're an amazing God that you pour out your love on each one of us. Your heart is towards each one of us. Your love is individual and a blessing and encouragement to each one of us. And to each one of us, you loved us so much that you knew the only way we really understand is through your Son Jesus, through his life and through his death. Lord, help us to understand fully the immense love that you have for us. Because as we understand that in each day of our lives, as we walk in the gift that you've given us of your Spirit, we can walk taller. We can be a reflection of you, Father God. We can be a reflection of the love that Jesus showed. Lord, just help us with our own and hearts and minds that the truth of what you're saying to us will refresh us and renew us. But encourage us and strengthen us. Father, you are a loving God that you draw us, that takes time and understanding to take us to new places. Help us to go on that walk in a fresh and a new way with Holy Spirit, that you will change each one of us individually, so that we just pour out your love to those around us, that give us that hope, give us that faith steps to pray, to encourage, to bless, to bring words, to bring healing. Because we understand how much you love each one of us. Thank you, Father God. Amen.